Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. And we have an update from the front in the war against Hamas. On Tuesday, we received word that Hamas had elected a new leader. That's right, Hamas. I don't know if they elected him or they just named him. I think they just named him. They're not big on elections there with Hamas, although they did hold an election there in Gaza. And the citizens of Gaza elected Hamas as their democratic rulers. So one might say that the people of Gaza that everybody's weeping for, well, they voted this upon themselves. So unless Smartmatic was involved in the election, and then it could be that the whole thing was rigged. Were the Democrats anywhere near Gaza when that election was held? I think that was 2007. And we know that the Democrats have been stealing elections since at least 1960. I mean, outright, like bold right in front of your face type thing. But anyway, let me get back to Hamas. On Tuesday, Hamas named their new leader as Yahya Sinwar. Yahya Sinwar, last reported to be hiding underground in a tunnel under Gaza, surrounded by Jewish hostages. That's where he actually dwells right now, as far as we know. Unless he's at the beach house in Rehoboth, Delaware, he could be there. It's possible. But we think he's hiding in a tunnel under Gaza, surrounded closely by Jewish hostages. So I pulled this down on Tuesday, hoping that I would have a positive update by today, which is just Sunday. I would hope I would have a positive update today that Sinwar had been killed and that Hamas had named another leader. And maybe he had been killed. But unfortunately, Yahya Sinwar remains the chief leader, honcho at Hamas. He has been called the architect of the October 7th massacre. And his name, did you catch his name? And maybe it doesn't hit you as effectively over the radio as if it does when you read it. It's Yahya Sinwar. Yahya is his first name, Y-A-H-Y-A, Yahya. His last name is spelled S-I-N, Sin, W-A-R, War. So you can't make that up, the irony of that. His name is Yahya Sinwar. It's like he cheers for sin and war, and he's the leader of Hamas, and he butchers innocent people, and he ends up living in a tunnel under Gaza. He lives in a tunnel under a hellhole. He lives in a hole under a hole, surrounded by people who hate him, who he's had to kidnap just to get them to hang out with him. And he's going to be killed with extreme, extreme prejudice in the not-too-distant future. We wish it would have happened by today. But unfortunately, the Israeli military and Shin Bet ain't what they used to be. So there's Yahya Sinwar, the update on sin and war in one story there. Now, from there, I want to draw your attention to a headline that caught my attention earlier. I guess this past week. So the headline is regarding Emmanuel Macron and the opening ceremony at the Olympics. And at first glance, I thought the headline said, Emmanuel Macron condemns the opening ceremonies. And that's what I thought it said. And I thought, maybe they're having an election soon and he needs to distance himself from the outright satanic perversion that might freak out some of the people who might vote for him. I didn't know. So I had to click through, and then I realized that the The headline actually read, Macron condemns abuse of opening ceremony artists. That's right. Macron issued a statement this past Friday that he was outraged by the cyberbullying of the pervert choreographer in charge of the satanic, criminally insane parade of Sodom and Gomorrah that was the opening ceremonies. So Emmanuel Macron is outraged by the cyberbullying. Cyberbullying? What is that? I thought that's like a teenage girl thing. Isn't cyberbullying what makes teenage girls have suicidal ideations? Macron is a teenage girl, and the pervert maybe that's the level that they operate on, that cyberbullying hurts them so much. Now, it would not surprise me if the pervert choreographer who put together the opening ceremony, the opening blasphemy at the Olympic Games, it would not surprise me if he has suicidal ideations, because sexually deviant perverts often have suicidal ideations because of a number of reasons that we may or may not get to, because who has time to analyze? It's basically his rebellion against God and his unresolved issues with his own sin causes him to want to be punished, and so that leads to suicidal ideations. And now, Macron, on the other hand, he wants to make this pervert feel as good as he can. Macron praised what he called the artist's audacity, said the nation was proud of the opening ceremonies. To quote Macron, he says, quote, France showed its audacity with the artistic freedom that it comes with. So anyway, if you've ever wondered how the pride of sin can get people killed, if you've ever wondered about that, because it's one of the top sins in the Bible. It's the very first sin, actually. But it's one of the top sins in the Bible because it actually gets people killed. And if you want to know how that might actually happen, just watch what's about to happen in France and really across all of Europe. And we'll get to some of that. You'll see how pride actually gets people killed. Speaking of pride, the mayor of Paris, Anne, who may or may not be male or female or identify as any such, like Macron's husband, wife, whatever that is. The mayor of Paris, she also chimed in. Let's see, her name is Anne Gamora Hidalgo.
No.
She's one of those hyphenated. Well, we've hyphenated her here at The Worldview. Paris Mayor Anne Gamora Hidalgo gave her unwavering support for the pervert choreographer who put together the opening blasphemies, saying in a statement that the perverts held our values high, said Mayor Anne Gamora Hidalgo of Paris. She went on to say, because she just couldn't help herself. She said, it was a pride and honor to magnify our city and tell the world who we are. That was Mayor Anne Gamora Hidalgo. So she wanted to magnify her city and tell the world who we are. What she actually did, and she may not be aware of this, so you might want to send her a link to the broadcast. What she did was tell God who she was. That's so, in fact, all of France just put right in God's face exactly who they are. And if you ever wondered how that might get people killed, just watch what's about to happen. Let's see. The choreographer, the pervert, who put together the opening blasphemies at the 2024 Summer Games in Paris, said that he has been the target of threatening messages and insults on social media, criticizing his sexual orientation, which is... So the thing is, buddy, is your sexual orientation is your it's all you're oriented about. If you would shut up about it and not put it on display in front of the whole world, you wouldn't have disgusted the whole world and caused us to go online and call you a pervert, which is what you are. You're a pervert. Does that hurt your feelings? I'm sorry. So Let's see his sexual orientation. His orientation is to think of nothing and to vomit out nothing but sex perversion. So what do you expect, you creep? You're creeping us all out. Let's see now. The pervert has filed a complaint with prosecutors in France, because in France, if you call a pervert, you could be prosecuted. That's right. He's filed a complaint with France's Central Office for Combating Crimes Against Humanity and Hate Crimes. The gay Stasi, for short, is what it's the gay Stasi. Let's see. They're investigating right now. They're tracking down tweets and social media posts. Anyone who hurt the queer's feelings will be prosecuted to the full extent of the law, according to the gay Stasi there in Paris. See, another pervert who was involved, a French DJ and activist named Barbara Sodom Butch. That was the fat guy dressed as a nun playing the central role in the opening blasphemy. That was the one that made all the wire serves, the picture of the fat guy dressed like a female nun at the middle of the table there. That's Barbara Sodom Butch. And she says, oh, she's also filed a complaint with the gay Stasi over cyberbullying. Which, I'm sorry, it gets confused. It's difficult to keep track. So the fat guy, dressed like a girl at the center of the opening blasphemy, has also filed a complaint with the gay Stasi there in Paris so that he can have the people cyberbullying him arrested too, because he thinks he's a teenage girl. And cyberbullying hurts his feelings. All right. Now, we have to move on from the... Do we have to move on? Let's see here. Speaking of Europe and what's about to happen, it's already begun. So I think we reported last week on the murder of the three little girls by the Muslim maniac in England. They were attending, let me see if I get it right here. I don't want to mess this up. They were attending a Taylor Swift themed yoga and dance class. So that's and now that murder has set off what the urinalists call an anti-immigration revolt. Three young girls were murdered. Yeah, uh-huh. The officials in England are threatening to arrest the Brits, you know, the normal British-looking British people. They're all going. They want to arrest them because they're finally violently revolting against the fact that their country has been invaded by third world, 7th century religious fanatics. So while they sat there, by the way, all the people protesting in England, I mean all the white people who look English, who are so angry, they all sat there for the last 20 years and just let all this happen. And not just that, they allowed the total transgendering of their whole civilization, the murder of their next generation, the utter destruction of the Christian faith, and the criminalization of Christianity. That's what they've allowed to happen over the last, I don't know, maybe 50 years in England. And now they wake up and their children are being butchered in front of their eyes, and now it's time for them to freak out and get upset. And so what's about to happen in England, well, before I get to that, okay, let me read from the story from legalinsurrection.com, who you would think they wouldn't have urinalists there, but they do. They allow this, so they call the protesters who are burning things and throwing things at the police. They allow the British politicians' statements to be printed and broadcast, calling these far-right protests. The mainstream media is referring to Brits tired of immigrants as the far-right. And this is one of the favorite tactics of the left. They use the same tactic to disrupt or to dismiss the European farmers who drove their tractors. Remember the European farmers who sat by while their civilization was pillaged and looted by a bunch of criminally insane sex perverts? Now they're upset because they're messing with their money and their anyway. So what you've got here happening in Europe is godless perverts, socialists, and affluent pop culture worshipers are suddenly shaken awake, and they rise up against ungodly 7th century religious fanatics. And basically, they're all about to get exactly what they deserve. And it's going to be ugly. It's going to be really ugly. And it's sad that the innocent have to suffer, but such is judgment. Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you for sticking with us, ladies and gentlemen. I mentioned such as judgment, which brings me to a Bible verse. Warning, 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 Will Robinson, there are Bible verses up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at the Weekly Worldview that you would like to silence anyone who would dare even think about quoting a Bible verse in public. So this warning gives you fair notice that raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. And so we go. I spoke of judgment, which is what's happening in Europe, is the Europeans are getting what they deserve for their manifold sins. And we're reminded in Exodus chapter 34, verse 7, one of the characteristics of God is his keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. And so a lot of biblical lightweights, they think that that means that God punishes children for the sins of their fathers. And that's not what that means. What that means is that's a description of what happens when a city, let's just use a city because that's what the Bible does as a good example. When a city falls into sin and rebellion against God, they become corrupt and perverted, and eventually they fall under judgment. And it's not like a magical, mystical judgment from God, like he sends lightning bolts. It's the natural consequence of their own sin and rebellion and corruption, which is what's happening in Europe today. It's happening in America today. And then when the judgment falls, which is usually some other nation or some other city that's bigger and stronger or just hasn't become so corrupt and soft and lazy and perverted and obsessed with entertainment and sex and drugs, and it's just another city that's actually paying attention, comes in and they slaughter and murder and kill and butcher everybody and take it over. That's what happens that's the judgment from God. It was built into the system. The system is made to work that way. And what that means, that God visits this punishment upon the children and the children's children unto the third and fourth generation, what that means is when that civilization falls and they're conquered and butchered and killed by their enemy, it's not just the guilty parents and grandparents, and maybe there's a great-grandparent or two alive, but it's also their children and their grandchildren, and maybe there's a great-grandchild alive. That judgment falls on the parents and the children and the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. And they all get slaughtered for the sins of the parents and the grandparents. So that's what that means. That the third and fourth generation. Everyone in the city who's alive gets killed because of wickedness. And so that's what's about to happen in Europe. It's not like it's going to be like a really good movie where you get to see it all happen at once and it's really thrilling. It's going to be a slow motion, horribly painful, ugly, embarrassing murder-suicide. that's happening in Europe, and it's coming to a theater near you. If hopefully you can at least keep it out of your family and out of your immediate circle. And one of the ways to do that is to disconnect from the pop culture. Disconnect from the pop culture. Come out of them. Be ye separate. So I just talked about the fact that an enraged Muslim fanatic went after a Taylor Swift-themed dance and yoga party for little girls, like 5 years old, 6 years old. So that was last week. Now, this past week, that was 2 weeks ago. This past week, we have Austrian officials have canceled 3 Taylor Swift concerts because of a credible threat of a Muslim terrorist massacre at a Taylor Swift concert. In fact, the story reads, foiled a planned Islamic terror attack against Taylor Swift concerts, plural. Now, the good news related to this story is that they did cancel 3 Taylor Swift concerts. So there's a silver lining around every cloud. They arrested a 19-year-old Muslim man who they say had pledged allegiance to the Islamic State. And does anyone remember back in 2017, there was another similarly, a similar pop star of very limited talent, but who was willing to make herself a sexual idol for money, and her name was Ariana Grande. Does anyone remember? She put on a concert in England, and a Muslim maniac slaughtered 22 people at her concert. Does anyone remember that? You would think that the people promoting Taylor Swift would remember what happened at Ariana Grande's concert and have some shame and just stop it. But they don't. It gets bigger and bigger and bolder and more proud. With every idol that they trot out, they become more and more open and proud. And it's like Ariana Grande was worse than whoever came before her, and Taylor Swift is more worse than Ariana Grande. And has anyone else in the media put the pieces together that the little girls slaughtered in England by the Muslim, that's related to this? So it would seem that the Islamic, whoever it is that decides who they're going to terrorize, it would seem that they've put a bullseye on Taylor Swift. Her being the most obvious representative of Satan and Western civilization that there is. So, and maybe that will cause the people promoting Taylor Swift, and maybe Taylor Swift herself, maybe that'll cause her to say, maybe I should stop this. But it won't, because they'll say, well, they're against freedom, and we want to show how free we are, you know, like we did at the opening blasphemies in Paris. And so there's no good guys on any side. The Muslim fanatics butchering children because of all the satanic parading around of idols, they're wrong. And the Western liberty, freedom, worshiping, free, parading around the girls, they're wrong too. There's no good guys. So Taylor Swift is quoted in this article as saying that a massacre at one of her concerts is, quote, her biggest fear. Anyway, her biggest fear should be Judgment Day. But you know what? No one around her will tell her that, because they're all busy pretending to love her for the money. They're telling her she's great, and they're parading her around and telling her it's all wonderful, and they're just lying to her for the money. And they're going to get, well, probably get her killed in a spiritual sense. And there might be a massacre on the way to that. But that's, well, what more can I say about that? I'm surprised I haven't heard anyone else connect the dots on the Taylor. But you know what? I don't listen to the media anymore, so it's possibly someone else has. It's possible someone else has, and I just haven't heard it because I don't listen to it anymore. All right, from there now, let's jump deep into the science. Really? File. Where a new research study has come out, Research shows that girls worry more about climate change than boys. Shocking. So this is from the Greek Reporter. I think this is out of Greece. This proves that Western civilization has way too much time on its hands. So we have people studying who's worrying more about climate change. So, but it's actually deeper and more sinister than that, and we'll get to that, because everything's deeper and more sinister than you think. So even unintentionally. But this new research suggests children from lower socioeconomic backgrounds, that's poor kids, enjoy learning about climate change less. They enjoy learning about climate change less.
Wow, that's
than children from wealthier families. That means poor kids don't hear it like the rich kids, because the poor kids are not worried about destroying the world. They're worried about, you know, their next meal. And anyway, researchers at the Center for Climate Change and Sustainability Education at the University College London. Oh, it's London again. Here we go. So you read the title of that. Right? The Center for Climate Change and Sustainability Education. Just please stop. Are you kidding me that this exists? It's no wonder civilization is being taken away and thrown into chaos when this... So anyway, so they do the study there, and they find out the poor kids enjoy learning about climate change less. I should put that into the Urinalism Hall of Fame as one of the most urinalistic phrases ever put on. Just unbelievable. They enjoy learning about climate change less. So the research, the study came out. We're all impressed, shocked, whatever we're supposed to be. And the professor there, Nicola Gamora Walsh is her name, and she's the executive director. The executive director, not just the director, she's the executive director of the Center for Climate Change and Sustainability Education. She says the study highlighted the need for deeper insight into students' views and hopes concerning climate education. So what does that pile of words even mean, for crying out loud? We need deeper insight into students' views and hopes concerning climate education. This lady's been alone in a room with herself for far too long. To even think that anyone has views and hopes concerning climate education. Students don't have views or hopes concerning climate education. This is all a manifestation of your imagination, Nicola. And whoever put you on the payroll, which is probably George Soros and other, just to assume that this even exists, don't you understand, Nicola, that your position exists because of the wild imagination of communists who want to brainwash children? That's the only reason you exist. Your job exists, Nicola, is because of communist maniacs who want to brainwash children and convince a generation that they should feel guilty about destroying the world. The children don't have any hopes or dreams or even thoughts concerning any of that unless it's fed to them by your boss and by way of you. So you bear guilt for it, too. The fact that anyway, here, let's go on and see what Nicola says about her important work as the executive director of the Center for Climate Change and Sustainability Education. She says, there is very little in-depth understanding of students' perspectives of and aspirations for climate change and sustainability education. These results form an incredibly important evidence base that we can use to better support schools and teachers. students' perspectives of and aspirations for climate change and sustainability education. So she implies that the students want more effective climate change and sustainability education. And if the teachers and the administrators could get to the bottom of understanding how to provide better education on sustainability and climate change, that the students would be somehow more receptive. So basically, she's saying the study shows that we have more work to do in order to facilitate the brainwashing and molestation of as many children as we can get our hands on. And I'm your host, Doug McBurney. I had a guitar pedal that had that sound effect on it, and I never could figure out how could you ever actually use that sound. So, and there you have it. There it was. Thank you very much. Okay, so from the judgments falling upon the world and the creepy, weird people in positions of authority who are behind it all, so like over at the University College London and their Center for Climate Change and Sustainability Education. So all of that. So I have to apologize having gone halfway through the show without commenting on what is the most important election of our lifetime. Any of our lifetimes. And for those of you just born, this is the most important election of your lifetime, no matter how long you live. This will be. And so I am going to dub. First of all, it's hard to comment on the most important election of our lifetime without commenting on the fact that we've actually had one campaign actually posting fake pictures of crowds in front of their fake candidate. And it's somehow we're all supposed to continue on paying attention as if this is real. So this is, I'm telling you, this is brain damaging, because if you expect people to suspend disbelief to this level regarding the election of the president, I'm telling you, everything's going to come apart at the seams. You're going to drive people into literal insanity. It's just, we can't take this seriously any longer. We have basically a reality TV star running against a completely fake pair of fake, phony nothings. So someone should stand up and say, this is getting way too embarrassing. Let's do something else. So I'm going to dub the Harris-Walls ticket. That's the Democrats now, on the ones with the fake pictures of the fake crowd in front of the airplane. So I'm going to dub that ticket's the Beastie Boys Beck ticket. That's right. Now walk with me on this a little bit. Now, I know I'm dating myself. You younger people have to do some research. This is the Beastie Boys Beck ticket. Some of you may remember in the late 1980s, early 1990s, two musical acts became inexplicably successful despite having no talent, playing no musical instruments, and being generally unattractive. They weren't even good looking. That's right, I'm talking about the Beastie Boys and Beck. So their careers were later allegedly proven to have been the result of a couple of drunken record label executives making a bet as to who could foist the worst act highest up into the top 40 charts for the longest period of time. And that's where these two acts' careers, that's where they came from. And so Harris Walls has become that ticket. I'll just say this. The Harris Waltz ticket became, is it Waltz or Walls? I never heard of the guy. But they're calling him A-Walls, so I think it's Walls. But it's with a Z, maybe short, it's Waltz? I'm not sure. Anyway, the Harris Walls ticket came about under similar circumstances. But it wasn't drunken record label executives. This time, it's a contest. It's a contest among the pill-popping psychopaths atop the criminally insane sex cult running the country to see if they can put together the most ridiculously unelectable pair of political bozos in American history and then push them over the finish line on Election Day without getting caught. That's the game. That's the contest. We're going to watch it play out over the next few months. Right? And so how ridiculous can it be? So they picked the guy who actually was in charge of the big flinch in Minneapolis. This is the guy who allowed Antifa and Black Lives Matter to burn the police station down in Minneapolis, which I cited, by the way, as a turning point in the decline and fall of Western civilization, the big flinch in Minneapolis in the summer of 2020. So they picked that guy. And then they picked the drug-addled quota hire who can't string more than three words together without losing her train of thought. And they're just laughing, and they're like, can we actually pull this off? Could we actually win? And the odds are they will. The odds are America loses. So there's our update on the most important election of our lifetime. And please don't be disappointed that the most important election of your lifetime turns out to be a contest to see how stupid and gullible people are and how much they'll allow the people who control their income and career, how much will they allow them to get away with? That's what it's all a contest. It's a bit behind the scenes. Yeah, Satan isn't even involved. This isn't even up to his level. This is like schoolyard antics that are going to collapse the country. And from there, we go to reason number 2,134 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. A new report says that one-third of American adolescents receive counseling, drugs, and or some other kind of mental health care as of 2023. Young people, this is a survey of young people between the ages of 12 and 17. Counseling, medication, and other forms of mental health therapy are skyrocketing. So, for those of you who graduated from or matriculated in the government schools, that means about a third of teenagers are either on drugs or in therapy. Okay. By the way, the most significant increase in this recent batch of data was seen in teenagers receiving medication. Yeah, teenagers being prescribed anxiety medications up more than 10% year over year from 23 to 24. I'm sorry, from 22 to 23. 10% increase in kids on drugs. And not like sneaking out behind, not that. You know, these are drugs that the parents give the kids. The doctor tells the parents, give the kids drugs, and the parents give the kids drugs. And it turns out now all of our kids have anxiety. So anyway, I remember a time when nobody's parents gave them drugs. If they got caught with drugs, you were in trouble. And there was some anxiety, but not a whole lot. We were pretty, well, generally well-adjusted and happy. But now, after a couple of generations of drugging the youth, they've all got, a third of them have anxiety to the point where, anyway, very sad. So keep your kids out of the government schools, because where do parents get the idea that their kids need drugs? It's from a childless grade school teacher who can't handle the rambunctiousness of your son, and she calls the principal and says, drug this kid. And the principal tells the parents, drug this kid. And then the hapless moronic parents give the kid drugs. So just avoid that whole death spiral by getting or keeping your sons out of the government schools. And keep your daughters out for good measure. So, well, here's why to keep your daughters out. It's going to be impossible for you to disconnect your children from the pop culture if you leave them in the government schools. The government schools are the interface between families and the pop culture. The public schools facilitate the pumping of the filth of the pop culture into all the families in America the Watergate for such a thing is the public schools. So there's probably a better word than Watergate. Anyway, it's the spigot is Hollywood, and the hose is the public schools, and your kids being in there is like they're going to get it all over them. Okay, that's not as good as Watergate, but well, it'll have to serve. Let's go now to the culture file. Where here? Listen to this headline. This is a good barometer of where we are in the trajectory of civilization. The headline reads: Transgender model loses Miss USA pageant. Why is that news? Well, I'm just going to tell you. Okay, that headline is a result of 50 years of urinalism education that has taught urinalists their job is to normalize the abnormal. And so what that headline implies is that it's unusual for a tranny to lose a beauty pageant. So, and it's subtle and it's kind of subconscious the way it works, but I'm telling you, well, let's just read the story. It turns out that a U.S. Army officer was named Miss USA, and she's a woman. She became the third person to take the crown this year following the shock resignation of the 2023 Miss USA and then the shock resignation of her replacements. So when it seems that both women, their IQ temporarily rose above room temperature and they realized that this is really demeaning and stupid. And they just walked away. So for whatever happened to those two women, God bless them. There's some hope for them. So they had to have, I think they had an emergency Miss USA pageant because they had to replace, without a reigning queen, what would we do? So the winner this year was, 22-year-old with a master's in data science. She's a U.S. Army officer, which isn't real. She's in the reserves, but, you know. I shouldn't say that. Well, whatever. I was a Marine. I can say whatever I want. Listen to this. The Miss USA pageant included swimwear and evening gown competitions. Competitions? I mean, what does that mean? You can't really call that a competition. Okay. Miss Maryland was in the contest as a trans woman, and she finished outside of the top 20. That sentence is buried in the middle of the article. And so you read that, and you're like, well, wait a second. Why would there be any note of any contestant who finished out of the top 20 in any contest? I mean, we don't report on people who finish out of the top 20 in a contest, unless this is the reason the story was published. Aha, and now you get to it. This is why the story was published and picked up on the wire services. This is how it ends up on Breitbart and other allegedly conservative news aggregating websites. It's the result of pure urinalism. Pure urinalism. That's right. And listen to how they go on to describe this contestant who finished outside of the top 20, who in any other contest would never receive any coverage. They go on to say that the tranny who lost was the first military officer's wife to win a regional crown when he became Miss whatever it was. So then they go on to quote the tranny, because their job is to normalize the abnormal. In every little subtle way we can, we're just going to normalize the abnormal. Right, and finally the story ends with, this wasn't the first time Miss USA has featured a transgender contestant. As if we needed to know that. As if that's of any social or cultural value or any newsworthiness. It's not. But their job is to normalize. And the Breitbart urinalists who think they're conservatives, they are Marxist puppets and they don't even know it. Which is, by the way, exactly how Marx measured success. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host. And with the show is almost over, and I still have all this stuff because I don't know. It's maybe it's not all that important anymore, man. So let's go to the next story. We'll just jump right in here and try to finish this off. We've got from the Justice File, the Minnesota Supreme Court has created a duty to retreat. A duty to retreat. Listen to this. There's a case of a guy. He's standing in public, and another guy threatens him with a knife, says, I'm going to cut your throat. And the guy who got threatened felt threatened, so he pulled out a knife. And now he's being prosecuted because he didn't run away. That's right. A duty to retreat, according to the Minnesota Supreme Court. By the way, does anyone remember where the big flinch occurred? It was in Minneapolis, which is in Minnesota. Huh? So the high court there says that if you're threatened with deadly force, you have a duty to retreat. And this duty applies to anyone who claims he or she was acting in self-defense by pulling out a weapon instead of running away. This is the Supreme Court in Minneapolis. So, okay, as if to confirm that I'm somehow clairvoyant. But I'm not. I'm just paying attention. That's all. So when I called the big flinch, it was just an observation of facts on the ground. So the Minnesota State Supreme Court, they ruled that a man threatened by attacker, well, I've already covered all that. Anyway, listen to this. Now, the state, in its prosecution of the guy who was being threatened with having his throat cut, the state is now prosecuting that guy. And in their case, they claim that in their case against the guy who was scared, the state does not claim that the man, Early Romero Blevins, the man, Mr. Blevins, the state does not claim he was the aggressor. The state, in fact, says the man who initiated the confrontation by threatening him with a knife was the aggressor. The state does not dispute the assailant's conduct, that approaching Blevins with a knife and telling him he was going to cut his throat created a reasonable fear of imminent death and great bodily harm in Mr. Blevins. And no one claims that Mr. Blevins physically harmed his attacker. He simply pulled out a knife to stop the guy from stabbing him. He never stabbed the guy. But the state is prosecuting him for not running away. Okay. So, folks, the educated class in America, which is led by lawyers who end up as judges, they're so insulated from real life that they can inflict their academic stupidity into real life with no concept of the harm they're doing. They don't even know. That's how far gone they are. That makes them very dangerous, by the way. People who can do enormous damage without even realizing what they're doing, they need to be put in straitjackets and locked in a room. But they're so insulated from reality that they don't understand. But you know what? The barbarians will be at their gates soon. They think they're insulated. These judges who make this ruling, they think this is all an academic exercise until the maniacs show up to burn their house down and drag them out in their front yard and butcher them, which is where this all ends. I know, that's hyperbole, right? No, it's not. It's exactly where all this ends. So, I mean, we saw a preview of it on the streets of Minneapolis, on the streets of America in the summer of 2020. So, in fact, it goes way before that. Ferguson, Missouri, remember this? I actually drove into Ferguson, Missouri in the days after the riots there in 2014. I drove in there. And I remember, just listen to this. Let's do the story first. From the Gateway Pundit, several hundred far-left protesters gathered in Ferguson to mark the 10-year anniversary of the death of Mike Brown. Remember the whole hands up, don't shoot hoax? That was Michael Brown. That was 2014, Ferguson, Missouri. And so this past week, it was the 10-year anniversary. And so protesters showed up and beat a cop almost to death. Uh-huh. And the Gateway Pundit, who thinks he's a conservative, but he's a urinalist, He calls these guys protesters. And I think he must have just picked this up off the wire and he doesn't correct it. Because you don't call people who beat a cop into the ICU. That's not a protester. That's a rioter. That's a murderer. But he calls them. In 2014, listen to this. In 2014, protesters rioted for several nights. You can't write that, protesters rioted. You can't write that and be a journalist. You should be bounced out of the industry for that sentence. You can't say that. Protesters don't riot by definition. Rioters riot. But the line has been blurred to where even the alleged conservatives who think they're conservative, they don't even know. It's very dangerous, by the way. When you're sleepwalking into a massacre and you don't even know it, very dangerous. So protesters rioted in 2014 for several nights and burned down the business district twice in 1 year. I know, I remember. People were terrified. I drove into Ferguson, Missouri. I got there late at night on a business. I was a business trip. I got there late at night. I drove up to the motel and it looked like the motel was closed, which I'd never experienced that a motel was closed. But it was like midnight, maybe 1 o'clock in the morning. I drive up to the motel. I'm like, there's nobody here. The door doesn't open. You walk up to the door. You know, usually the door opens. Doesn't open. So then I look and there's people behind the desk in the dark. I mean, it's almost like they're hiding behind the desk. And so I knocked on the glass. And they came out and they let me in. They said, hey, welcome to Ferguson. I was like, what's going on? They said, well, we're afraid that they're going to come and burn the place down. So we're all hiding. But we're open. We're open for business. So anyway, it was pretty weird. Pretty weird, I'll tell you. Anyway, so this past week, the Friday night, In the nighttime protests, reports the Gateway Pundit, one police officer was seriously injured when he was assaulted. The officer is in critical condition fighting for his life right now after a vicious assault by protesters. All right. I can't whip a dead horse, but protesters, really? I mean, you don't have enough editorial energy to at least correct that before you publish the story? You call yourself a conservative journalist, for crying out loud. All right. From there, let's go to reason number 2133 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. AmGreatness.com reports that schools in the United States have begun introducing various forms of meditation, including yoga, in the public schools. Now, don't worry, because the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has endorsed these efforts as a means of combating the lingering effects of the coronavirus pandemic, which they say disproportionately affected schools and school children and stunted children's growth and education across the country. I think this is Am Greatness's commentary here, because the CDC wouldn't say that it affected schools, because the CDC closed the schools to protect the children. So they would never claim that this had any negative impact on them. That would be to take responsibility for doing something destructive, which, so yeah, it's a two-edged sword. Closing the government schools, it turns out, yeah, it probably did stress some kids out, and it definitely freaked some parents out, but it did open people's eyes to the reality of what was going on with the psychological, spiritual manipulation and molestation of their children. So there's a silver lining behind every cloud. Let's go on with the story, though, because now the CDC has another great idea, yoga and meditation for the kiddos. Because, you know, the COVID hysteria and panic and the historical flip out of epic proportion strained their mental health, according to CDC Director Mandy Gollum Cohen. She says, we can now make sure that the children are coping with some big emotions, says CDC Director Mandy Gollum Cohen. Where does she come from? I never heard of her. So is she replacing... Anyway, Mandy Gollum Cohen has ideas on how to help your kids cope. The CDC claims that one-third of American students feel persistent sadness and hopelessness. So that's the Centers for Disease Control, directed by Mandy Gollum Cohen. They say that about a third. Didn't we just do a story on a third of the kids are on pills? A third of the kids are either on pills or in therapy. And oddly enough, about a third of them are experiencing persistent sadness and hopelessness. And Mandy Gollum-Cohen, she has a solution. She says, to help the kids, the agency recommends mindfulness practices. You know why kids are suffering persistent sadness and hopelessness? It's because their parents are relying on an agency to recommend things instead of raising their children, for crying out loud. Mindfulness practices? What are we, in China? For crying out, just unbelievable. The fact that this can go on without a convulsive reaction from Americans into peaceful civil disobedience to stop these maniacs, the fact that we don't just rise up and stop them from doing everything is embarrassing. It's just embarrassing. Anyway, so we have an executive director of a 501c3 charity that helps children. Her name is Julie Gollum Cooper. She's the executive director of Social Slush Fund Atlanta. And she has some advice for parents. She's with the agency. She has some recommendations. She says, when you look at the numbers, unfortunately, the number of children of color with suicidal thoughts and success is quite high. So she says there are not enough psychologists of color. She's calling for more psychologists to treat what she calls non-white children. Okay. She said that just before being tranquilized and led off by her handlers. Her handlers, by the way, are hysterical, childless pillheads who are being allowed to raise the next generation by parents who, well, you should know better. That's all. Reason number 2133, get or keep your children out of the government schools. And now to the justice file. And I might have to end with this story because I can't take it anymore. You know what? Before I do that story, let me do this because I do want to make one more comment on the most important election of our lifetime. Because I know that's what you want to hear about. So people want to hear about it because it's the most important election of our grandchildren's lifetimes. Grandchildren haven't even been born yet. It's most important of their lifetime. So this is from the Death by Democracy file. The three senior executives at Smartmatic, the voting machine company, have been charged in a bribery scheme. Roger Alejandro Pineda Martinez and Jorge Miguel Vasquez and Andres Donato Bautista, co-conspirators, they funded the bribes by over-invoicing the cost per voting machine in the 2016 Philippine elections. This is the company that's suing Fox News for $1 billion for alleging that this company might be run by a bunch of crooks. And their top three of their top executives have been indicted. But it's just, you can't make this up. You just can't make it up. It's just too funny. But it's so important. This is the most important theatrical event of our lifetime. All right, now, I don't know if I want to do that story. Maybe I'll do this story instead from the insurrection file, because I can't take this other story because... Well, I'll end with it, but it's a downer. Maybe I should do this first and then end with the carbon dioxide story. I'll do that because I don't want to leave you on a downer note. But this headline, I have to get this out there. The Ohio father who killed his three sons receives life. That's the headline. With no irony intended, Ohio father who killed three sons receives life. And then it goes on to say he got a life sentence without parole. Listen to this. He pleaded guilty by reason of insanity initially. I reported on this story. This is the guy who shot his three sons, sat down in front of the house, called the cops, and said, I just killed him. And it's just one of the most disturbing stories ever. So he started out pleading not guilty by reason of insanity. Later, he told authorities that he'd been thinking about killing the boys for months. It had weighed on him so heavily that he hadn't slept in days. So it's just a bizarre, just awful, horrible. Anyway, this maniac, who I will not say his name should be blotted out from all of history. This maniac, according to officials, prosecutors in the state say that he has now been sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. And so I want to stop right there and ask the authorities, Why do you have to add the words "the possibility of"? Can't you just say life without parole? Why can't you just say life without parole? Why do you have to say life without the possibility of parole? I insist you're inserting extra words and syllables because you know you're guilty of doing something wrong. And that's what we tend to do when we lie. And we dissemble as we add extra words and syllables to cover up for the fact that we know we're doing something wrong. So in fact, listen to this. Couldn't you just say life in prison? Couldn't you just stop there? Why do you even have to mention parole if you sentenced someone to life in prison? The reason is because you're lying. There is a possibility of parole. And you know it in your dark little black hearts. So 100 years ago, it was just life in prison. But as the industry of crime has evolved and matured, the nomenclatures of the varying products being offered has naturally expanded to become more diverse and more descriptive. So now it's no longer life. No longer life in prison. Now it's not life without parole. Now it's life in prison without the possibility of parole. And the more guilty we all become as a society, the more extra words and syllables we're going to add to everything we do. And the guilt will just accumulate, and it's a cumulative thing. And when the judgment falls, the punishment will fall on the parents, it'll fall on the children and the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. All right, now, let's close with something that's not quite as depressing. But I hope you take this as a warning. It's not just, I'm not just doom and gloom. That's a genuine warning from the book of Exodus that still applies, by the way. So take it for what it's worth. It could save your life. Okay, so from there we go. Let's close in the insurrection file where WorldNet Daily reports that in five Midwestern states, construction of carbon dioxide pipelines is planned as part of the green energy transition. And you might think, why would we build pipelines to pipe CO2? That seems kind of weird. Uh-huh. Well, the idea is they're going to capture CO2 and then they're going to put it in pipelines and then pipe it deep under the earth in order to save the planet. So I'm not making this up. Utilities and state governments intend to seize land from private landowners to build the pipelines to pump CO2 into Mother Earth to save her life. That's right. In fact, the Iowa Utilities Board has granted the petition of Summit Carbon Solutions, a private company. They've granted a permit to build CO2 pipelines across Iowa. Eminent domain will be used to seize the land and give it to this private company. Eminent domain has typically been, this allegedly private company, I'll say. Eminent domain has typically been used to take private land for government projects, but not for private industry. Well, welcome to the Soviet America, where companies are no longer private. It's because they've all become addicted in one way or another to government money or government regulation that keeps their competitors at bay, keeps them out of the business. Everyone's been seduced. Do you know the description of Babylon in Revelation and that she seduced the world and all the merchants have drunk from her cup? It's all a picture of human existence from the beginning of time. It's all the same thing. And that's exactly what's happening now. Listen to this now. So you've got the government ginning up a company in which they're all invested to bamboozle people into this ridiculous building of pipelines. They're going to make a fortune on this. So listen to this. It's even worse. These people have no shame. Ethanol producers, these are farmers who are already on the government dole, being paid to grow corn so that they can turn it into fuel and burn it, which is insanity. Ethanol producers in the five states are interested in participating in the project. Yes, they'll captured CO2 from the 57 ethanol plants will be sold to Summit Industries, providing a revenue stream for the farmers who are already ripping you off by growing corn, having the government buy it so we can burn it. So billions in federal funds may also be available to the ethanol plants that capture CO2 because they're such good people. No, it's because they're in on the racket and They've already been in on the racket. These farmers out in the Midwest, they realize that there's no end to this racket. We can bamboozle these stupid people for billions and trillions and zillions of dollars, and nobody knows, nobody realizes because they think we're all doing something so nice. I should let the other side speak. Supporters claim the project will deliver environmental benefits in the fight against climate change. That's right. While making them rich. And further facilitating their expression of their hatred toward God, which is what this is at the bottom of all of this. Because they want to mock God by making his children as stupid as possible and getting as many of them killed as possible. Anyway, that's it for the Weekly Worldview, folks. Shalore Terry will be back next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.